Paul, the apostle, the preacher of the gospel, the one who declared that justification comes by faith in Christ alone, the one who said that God is always at work for good all the time, was sitting in a prison cell, and another year had started. He was chained to a guard. Years of his life and his opportunity for public ministry were going by. You ever wonder what he might have wondered about in there? Well, how come Felix didn't let me go when he saw that it was unjust? How come Festus didn't let me go? I wish that circumstance there would have been a little different. Maybe if I would have left Jerusalem just a little bit sooner. Paul's circumstances were unpleasant, to put it mildly. It was painful. It was unhealthy. It was shameful. And from that place, he said, I have learned to be content. Understand here, he wasn't writing from the palace by the river when he said this. He was writing from a prison cell when he said, I have learned to be content. Friends, that is the challenge, that we would come to a place to live above the circumstances. And so the invitation to the Philippians, who were both impoverished and persecuted at the time he was writing them, is live above the circumstances. And that's the same invitation he gives to you. He gives to me today, saying, you can live a life that is not defined by the situations that you are in. It's not defined by the dungeon that has held you. In fact, I'd like to ask you a question as we start today that might become more relevant as the time goes on. What prison were you in when you lost your joy? When you lost your hope? What situation or circumstance has taken you off the path of peace and put you in a place of fear and pain? Because God has a plan for you and for me to live in peace, to live in power, to live with joy every single day. That's His will. That's what He fully intends. How? By living above the circumstances. Let's see what he says here in Philippians chapter 4 as we continue in this study. Beginning with verse 10. Now Paul says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Let me just stop there for a second and explain. This letter is a missionary letter, a support letter written out as a thank you to the Philippian church. He's going to talk about that more. We won't get there all today. That's, Lord willing, next week. Of their providing for him. And he says, well, I'm excited that you guys have come through for me. I'm excited that you're caring for me. So when we talk about living above the circumstances, it doesn't mean that the blessings of others don't make life better. They do. Okay? It says, whether you get those or not, he says, you can still live in the blessing of God. But he says, I fully appreciate your guys' donations. And I'm rejoiced that we're connected again. If you can imagine trying to keep track of Paul when you didn't have email, you didn't have telephone, you didn't have a fax system, how would you know which prison that guy was in this week? I mean, he did have a little trouble staying out of jail. You know, it looked really good, I'm sure, on his pastoral resume. You know, have been involved in several riots. But he was in a tough spot, but he says, I'm thankful that you guys are coming through for me. And then he says this, not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know also how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's his secret. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you've done well to share with me in my affliction. Paul says, hey, I appreciate your compassion. I appreciate your provision, but I have learned to be content. Are you content? This culture doesn't encourage that, does it? You know, you can't drive down the road. There's a billboard telling you what you really need. You know, you can't turn on a radio or a television and it's not talking to you. Even now on the internet, they found ways to get those commercials up there. They're telling you, you need this. And if you had this, you'd be happy. But what Paul says here, I've learned to be content when I didn't have it. I've learned to be content when I did have it. And so here's a principle. Contentment comes by choices of heart. Contentment comes by choices of heart, not by circumstances of life. We live in a society that thinks contentment comes when you reach a certain amount. You never get there. I think it was the multi-billionaire Paul Getty who was asked, how much is enough? And his answer was, just a little bit more. Greed is never satisfied. The flesh is never satisfied. Life's circumstances are going to continually change. Is that true? Some of you in a little bit of a curve recently, you know, your circumstances will continually change, but contentment is a choice. It's not based on circumstance. He says, I don't speak from want. Now, when he says that, what he's saying, I don't speak from a point of poverty from which I cannot still find contentment. Now, understand, what did Paul own at this point? How is his 401k doing? You know, what kind of retirement plan did he have to look forward to? What kind of family did he have around him? How many people had betrayed him? He says, not that I speak from poverty. I've learned to be content. I've learned. Commitment is not attained by likable circumstances. It's learned by faith choices. It's a decision to look at life differently. It is an attitude. It is not an amount. And your perspective on your circumstances, my perspective on my circumstance, determines my response. It's not the circumstance. Because you can learn contentment in any situation. In fact, I have found, talking to the different ones that we have sent around the world as missionaries and even some of our students as they've went out on mission trips, that one of the surprising things that I hear again and again when people come back from the mission field is they say, you know, what was so amazing about the believers there is how happy they were and they had nothing. You see, because the rest of the world has already learned that it is not what you have that makes you happy. It's a choice. It's a choice of response to what you have. The children of Israel were a good picture for us. That's why the Bible put it in there. Isn't that right? Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. So we could learn from them. And as they went through some of the circumstances of what? Of their deliverance. Remember, when they were coming out of Egypt, they went through these circumstances of deliverance, circumstances of provision. And what was their primary response to the circumstances of their life as they went across that desert? Grumbling and complaining and attacking leadership. They said, man, they were always in this attitude and they were in this place. And yet the interesting thing is after 40 years of that, remember they got laps because they hadn't learned their lessons, you know, laps around Mount Sinai. God gave them laps. It's a biblical thing, coaches. You can give your kids laps. It's biblical. All right. They were doing laps. And it's interesting. In Deuteronomy 8, the word tells us this is what God was trying to reveal to them. Look at this. Read it with me. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. For 40 years, God had provided everything they needed. He says, I let you, did you see that? Go hungry. I let you be humbled. I let you be pained. I let you become weak. I let you experience difficulty that I might make you understand that you don't live by your circumstances, by bread alone. That's your circumstance. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You live by what God gives you every day. You see, it's deception about the source of contentment that will lead you into defeat and discouragement and despair. You think, because if I had this, then I'd be happy. When Jesus had been 40 days without food, do you remember the verse that he quoted? We just read it. The devil said, if you would, you could turn these stones and make them bread. You could choose to take care of your flesh. And Jesus said, what? It is written. So powerful that he would say those things. Because as he says that, he says Jesus got his perspective about his circumstances from where? From the Word of God. Yeah, he was the Son of God, and yet he got his perspective from the Word of God because he was setting up an example for us to handle life's circumstances. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see, Jesus got a perspective from the revelation of the Bible, that it wasn't his feelings, he was hungry. It wasn't his circumstances, he was in a hot desert. It was his Father that he could trust. And he trusted him. I don't know where you find yourself today, but I can tell you this. You can learn to be content. That's what the Bible says. You can learn to be content. And he says here in verse 12, I know how to get along. That literally means I know how to cut my budget. It means I know how to be pressed lower. I know how to get along with humble means. He says, and I also, now see, some people don't know this one. He says, and I also know how to live high. He says, I know how to live with more than enough. Some people have not learned that in this culture. Even though we have a culture with an incredible abundance, we have not learned how to live with the generosity that that abundance ought to produce. Instead, it produces a greater level of greed. God doesn't increase your income to raise your bank account, but to raise your standard of giving, to raise your ability to do more in the kingdom. But he says, I've learned the secret of being filled and of God and hunger, of having abundance and suffering need. But when did he learn that? Right in the middle, I skipped a phrase. In any and every circumstance. Now let me say that again. In any and every circumstance, I've learned to be content. The question is this. What is the circumstance that you have said no to God about? What is the circumstance? I will not give you thanks for that. I will not rejoice in that. I will not accept that. That was wrong. That was evil. That is bad. You don't have the right to do that in my life, God. You know what I'm talking about? We wrestle with those things. He says, I've learned in any and every circumstance. See, here's what I've gathered from this thought. This will work for some of you teachers. all circumstances are classrooms for lessons to be learned. That's what they are. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in today, that's a classroom. You say, hey, I really didn't want this class. Suffering, 404. I wasn't planning on doing graduate studies in suffering. Well, maybe God said, I want to display myself with you in that place. I want people to know how sufficient I am. Can you reveal that there? You see, you're in a classroom. And the only question is, are you willing to learn the lesson? Because I don't know about some of you, but I didn't take in all the lessons of every classroom. Somebody else remember that experience? You know, sometimes you're sitting there saying, you know what? I don't want to be here. I don't have any reason to learn this. God says, I've got a reason why you are where you are. And this is what I think is phenomenal for me. All right, because sometimes some of the stuff I'm going through, I'm just like, this is crazy. And yet this is phenomenal for me. God says, I have a purpose for that. So there is nothing that I am going through. There is no situation I come in that is meaningless. But God gives meaning to everything. And in every, in any and every circumstance, I can, if I choose, you know, that choice of the heart, I can choose to display Christ right there. And in that place, friend, you can so live out the life of Christ that somebody else will say, what is it with you? How do you do that? Why do you have that attitude? And you can say, I've got a Savior. You see, the Bible says that we're to live in such a way that others will ask us for the hope there is within you. And you can say, I've got a Savior. Hey, I've got a Savior. Is that the truth? I've got a Savior, and someday I'm going to be face to face with Him forever. So in any and every circumstance, He says, can you live like you're going to live forever right now? Because you are. That's it. That's it. And so He says, I've learned this, that there's this classroom situation going on. And if we want circumstances to be the source of satisfaction, you are going to be continually unhappy. Can't be. They will not make you happy. You just got to check out the message of this culture and follow out to the end the people who have been most successful in this culture, who've been most powerful, who've been most popular, and their life is something you really want to go have. Isn't that right? Yeah, most of them are checking out at the other end, taking their own life because they're not satisfied, because the circumstances, all the wealth, all the popularity, all the different things they could have didn't make them happy. Because it can't. It doesn't come from that. Joy and peace comes from Christ. It's not what you have. It's who you know. So I want you to do something on your notes right here. I would be happy if, a little line there, what have you been saying? Just go ahead and write it in. Nobody else needs to see that. What have you been saying? I would be happy if, and some of you may be saying, if my husband would, I would be happy if my boss would, you know what I was thinking this morning? I would be happy if my back would. Right? We've got different situations, and you're saying, you know, I would choose to enjoy my life if this circumstance was different. Whatever you put in there, right? That's your idol. That's where you're looking for satisfaction from. That's what you're saying. That will make me happy. Instead, I can say, I am content. I am pleased because of Christ. He's enough. See, we want something more than we have. See, isn't that the definition of lack of contentment? Because contentment means to be self-satisfied. Now, this is interesting because in the world, the world's view of contentment, particularly in Paul's day, was to be self-sufficient. A man was a man if he could live totally independent of the needs of others. And some of the philosophers said, even emotionally and every other way, you could just be a self-sufficient. And man, that sounds like the Southern Oregon philosophy, doesn't it? I just want to live my independent life, and I don't want to need nobody for nothing. God says, no, it's to be satisfied. In fact, Webster defined it as desiring no more than what one has. And if you have Christ, you have all you need. And if you don't have Christ, you will never have all you need. It's just not going to satisfy. And you're going to be grumpy. You're going to be upset. You're going to be always pushing, I want to control this situation and that situation, and it'll make you angry. Or you'll choose to be angry. You know, we don't get made angry. That's our choice. Because remember, this is all about that contentment comes by choices of heart, not by the circumstances of our lives. So how much is enough? Financially? Relationally? How much? Contentment is not natural to this flesh. You know, I know more than finished breakfast and my body thinking about lunch. It happened this morning. Susie was asking me, what do you want for breakfast? I'm blessed with a lady that gives me hot breakfast about 5-6 days a week. And what do you want for breakfast? She says, well, I was thinking about it last night. I was thinking about it during dinner. Those potatoes, oh, that's going to look really good alongside some eggs. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That your flesh always, it's always going to hunger. That's why when we fast, the whole point is to be that hungry for God. And say, I'm that hungry for God. I want God in my life. I want more of His power in my life. My flesh will never be satisfied. But it's a choice, not a chance. Some of you are still waiting for that lottery ticket to pay off. Go ahead. Do a study on the people who win the lottery. They happy people? No. Some of the most miserable people on the planet are people who won everything this society thought you could offer. It doesn't come from there. All right. So the question is this. When you're in the circumstance, will you let God reveal Himself and His truth to you in that circumstance? Not afterwards. See, we all want to get through it. God wants to reveal Himself in it. Right in the middle of it. We want to skip it. We kind of want to do the DVD, VCR for some of you still. Okay, you know, we want to fast forward our life right through this spot. Let's just skip this point. You can't do that in life because God has a lesson to teach you about Himself and His sufficiency. And what does He say? Look at verse 13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You see, contentment is available. Here's your second principle. Contentment is available in all circumstances by trusting Christ as your strength. In fact, you could rewrite that. I couldn't write them out twice. You could by saying by trusting Christ as life, because that's what He is. It says in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed. Christ is our very life. So here's the thing. Every circumstance that you are in is an opportunity, a situation, a classroom for which you are invited to respond to the Savior. Remember when I talked about that last year, that 60-60, that every hour you'd be turning back? Okay, now what I'm saying is every experience, every different patient that you see, every different person that you talk to, every different assignment that you get at work, it's an opportunity for you to say, can I walk it out with Jesus? With this teacher, in this classroom, in this subject, will I walk it out with Jesus as my strength? Practicing my faith. Friends, the question is this. Is Jesus enough? We be honest here. That is really the question of life. And we've got a world around us that has never found enough. And they need to see in the lives of believers, Jesus is enough. Read that verse with me again. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Read it again. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. One more time. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. If I can get you to memorize that verse today, I got something inside of you that can totally change your life. To believe the truth that Christ is enough. I can do anything. You see, now notice Paul did not say or stop by saying, I can do. No, that's just the, I can do all things. That's presumption. You know, I can do anything. You know what? No, I can't. I can't jump in a swimming pool and beat Michael Phelps. Ain't gonna happen. I can't go out on the golf course and beat Tiger Woods. Ain't gonna happen. Jesus isn't gonna do that in my life, but I can do whatever God wants me to do. But he also doesn't say, I can't. See, that's pessimism. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's power. It's in Christ. My life is in Christ. Wants and discontents reveal needs in my heart for Christ. That's whenever you got an unhappy situation, you just go, oh, I haven't discovered something about Jesus in this situation yet, and I need to bring that to bear in this place. Psalms 23, verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall continually crave for other things. Oh, that's the American version. Sorry. Not the New American Standard. That's just the American version. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will find myself satisfied. And that's, take yourself through that psalm this afternoon. Beautiful, beautiful truth. Friends, Jesus has you in a process. He has me in a process to say, will you discover that I'm enough? Will you come, that there's more of me than you have ever seen? I could take care of that hurt. I could take care of that pain. When I'm discontented, I've found this. It reveals that James, it could be true of you too, so it reveals that I'm not doing or viewing life God's way. When I am in the depths of despair, I'm not viewing or doing life God's way. When anger is raging within me about a situation, I'm not viewing or doing life God's way. Because when I do it his way, I have the strength that satisfies and I live contentedly. I'm not talking about not having feelings. We're talking about bringing those to the cross and saying, he's enough. He's enough. You see, the secret of contentment is not found in something. It's found in someone. Our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where contentment's found. You can keep hunting if you want. I'm here to tell you, that's where it's found. And so I can live contentedly in any circumstance by trusting Christ's strength. Galatians 2:20 says this. Read it with me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. The life I now live. That's this one. The life I now live. I live by faith in the Son of God. And some people actually say that the translation could have said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by Christ's faith. It's Christ in you living out his life. And so when I come to the spot and say, Lord, I can't live out your joy in this situation. I just can't do that. But you can. And I will let you do that in me. Let's do it together. That's faith, where I yield it back over to him and say, I don't want this circumstance, but I do want my Savior. And so I live it by faith. Let Jesus be more to you. Trust him as your Savior. Trust him as your shepherd. See, many have come to him with their sins, but have never come to them with their life. Yeah, I give it all to him. I'm going to trust him as my provider, as my sustainer, as the one who gives abundant life, because the word says there's one who comes into your life and he will kill, steal, and destroy. Check it out. He's tearing things down in your life. If you can't see it, you're blind. But there's one who can come in who says, I have come that you might have life and have it sparingly. Now, abundantly. Abundantly. If you're not having abundant life, it's not because Christ is not abundant. It's because I need to deal with the trust factor. Man, I don't know about you guys, but this is huge to me. I wrestle with it. I go, well, why? There's something I'm not trusting if I'm not experiencing joy. Friends, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. I need him in me. You know what's so exciting? Is he's there. He's in you guys. And I see some of you living it out in such a way, it encourages me, it strengthens me to see, hey, there's a person, that's not a spot where they'd be praising God. Not naturally. But Christ in them is overflowing. I love seeing that. In your crisis, in your difficulty, in your economic failures and hardships, in your disappointments within your family, I see people still saying, my Savior is enough. I'm going to be faithful. And they go forward. People who continue to give generously, even though their income has decreased. Yeah, I'm going to be faithful. I invite you to do something. If you believe this verse, that I can do all things through him who strengthens me, then you will praise him before you see the provision you're asking for. Because you're going to believe it's coming. You're going to thank him before you see the end result. Before you even know what that result is, you're going to say, it will be good because you're good. And you'll be with me in that spot. So I will praise you right now. In my life, I've been greatly tested in this area. And I can't believe it's not any different for you guys. You will get tested in places you never wanted to go. I remember sitting in a hospital one night. And a doctor trying to keep my life alive, my wife alive in one room and my son alive in another. And knowing that neither one of them had much of a chance to make it till morning. What do you say to God in that moment? Are you enough? When you're standing in a graveyard, saying goodbye to somebody you never wanted to say goodbye to, are you willing to say, Jesus is enough? I've been there. I don't like that experience, but I like my Savior there. I've sat there in a doctor's office when he said, this child needs to be aborted or your wife will die. We said, we cannot do that. He says, then it's on your hands. You say, is Jesus enough right there? Friends, this principle is more than you can imagine. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Not just the things you want to do, but everything that comes into your life you can do by the strength of God. Everything. Corrie Ten Boom, who spent many years in a Nazi prison camp, said it this way. I thought this was really good. She says, look around, be distressed. Look inside, be depressed. Look at Jesus, be at rest. That's what it's about. Who are you looking at? That's where your contentment comes from, who you're looking at. Friends, Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. It's His might. It's His strength. That's where my strength comes from. It's not found in my circumstance. You say, well, how is that? Well, look back up at the chapter. How do you find yourself strong in His strength? What did He say? In any and every circumstance, what? Pray. That's how you learn to live by the strength of God, is that you pray in every circumstance. In every anxiety, you turn over to Him with thankfulness, and you will walk it out when you become a person who lives the life of prayer. Because Christ strengthens us to do all things by His strength. That's what He does. He comes to strengthen you to do everything by His strength. And so what He'll do is He'll put you in those situations, just like He said there in Deuteronomy, where you have not known this before, where you're at a lack, and so now you'll find I'm sufficient. So in any place where you're feeling the lack, that's the spot to run to the Savior for His fullness. Does that mean we don't need the blessing around us of others? No, 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 no. That 14th verse of that same chapter, he says, nevertheless, you've done well to share with me in my affliction. Thanks for the check. Okay? That's loosely translated. Okay? What's he saying? I want you to understand this. As you find Christ sufficient in your life and you share that with others, your generosity encourages others in their affliction. Paul says, I'm in an affliction and my Savior is sufficient, and it's been really good to hear from you. See that? That's why we get together as a family every week. That's why I want you getting together in small groups every week, is that you would be encouraging one another. Here's what my Savior has given to me. I want to share part of that with you. It could be a promise. It could be fruit from your garden. It can be a prayer. It can be bucks. Whatever it is, I share it in the family. Friends, don't let circumstance dominate your life. Instead, let the Savior rule in peace. What prison cell has been holding you? At what spot did you say, I will not forgive? At what place have you said, I will never thank God about that? At that spot, the cuffs went on. Because he said, in everything give thanks. He said, I'm sufficient for you. And wherever you have said no, there is where your prison cell is. And you can find Christ sufficient right there. Instead of saying, if only, and you fill in that blank, you say, I have all I need in Christ. Maybe not all I wanted, let's be honest, but all I need. Confess your discontent to the Savior and affirm the truth. Jesus Christ is enough. You don't need to change your house. You don't need to change your spouse. You don't need to change your salary. You don't need to change your health. You don't need to change your friends. You don't need to change your church. What you need to do is change your attitude and say, my Savior is always, always, always enough. And I will praise Him. So here's the thought. If you haven't heard me yet, trusting Christ empowers believers to live contentedly in all circumstances. That's what I'm saying. That you can live above the circumstances when you live by faith in Christ's strength. When you live by faith in the one who lives above the circumstances. Because haven't you said this sometime to somebody? They say, hey, how you doing? And say, well, not too bad under the circumstances. What are you doing under the circumstances? Get your eyes on the Savior and begin living above the circumstances. And you'll find you can do all things through Him who strengthens you. Have you given Him your life? If you've never done that, today the greatest thing you could ever do is say, Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner and I need you to save me. If you do that today, there's a start that'll never quit. If you've done that, you give Him whatever that fill in the blank was and say, you're enough for me. And I believe it. Let's pray. Right now, as I get ready to pray, I can't do this for you. I've been praying for you. I pray for you as a family every day and every week. I can't do this for you, but I can invite you to do it. To say that simple prayer, Lord Jesus, you are enough. There's something you've been fighting right now. I just want you to open your hands up to Him and say, Lord Jesus, you are enough. Forgive me for my idolatry of looking for it in money, looking for it in people, looking for it in position, whatever it was. I repent. You're enough. Jesus, we're so thankful that you are. Save us from ourselves. Save us from our circumstances. And save us for yourself, that we can give you glory. And that we can share the message of hope with those around us, that we have a Savior. We ask it in His blessed, holy, righteous, perfect name.